Now, as we continue our study in the John series, we will be looking at verses 17 to 45. It's a quite lengthy passage, so let's get right to it. John 11, verse 17 to 45. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw that Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound in linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. Let's pray. Father, as we continue, Lord, to study your word, we humbly ask right now in the name of Jesus, O God, that you be the one to minister to each and every heart. We humbly ask, Holy Spirit, that you have your way in our midst, Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, may you anoint my lips of clay, Lord. And we just humbly ask in Jesus' powerful name that you may allow your word, O God, to be delivered with power, clarity, and anointing this morning, Lord. Be the one to bless hearts, O God, that long after you. This is our prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. You can finally be seated. Now, church, a correct perspective in life is vital in our Christian faith. A correct outlook in life will help you live life the right way. With a correct life perspective, you can make better and wiser decisions. Now, having a correct life perspective is like always having a life compass. It always gives you a clear direction, a clear picture of what life is all about. And with that, you will be able to live a more meaningful and fruitful life for the glory of Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, you must understand that life is not dictated by your circumstances, but rather it is dictated by your outlook, by your perspective in life. Let me say that again. Life is not dictated by your circumstances, but rather it is dictated by your outlook and perspective on it. Now, Pastor Roy Versosa gave this illustration some years ago. He said there are two men. One is Pedro, and the other one is Juan. Now, both of them are in the same age, both 50 years old. Both of them earn the same income. They live on the same street. They have same number of children. And both of them had beautiful wives who recently passed away. Now, Pedro was devastated. He was mourning day and night. Every day, Pedro is crying.
because he truly loved his wife and he misses her every single day. So it was a painful experience for Pedro. On the other hand, Juan was ecstatic. He was jumping up and down. He was so joyful that his wife died. So finally, he can go to nightclubs without his wife catching him. He can visit his mistresses without his wife catching him. Now, church, situationally, both men are very similar. But yet, they had different reactions. Why? Because they had different outlook. They had different perspective in life. So again, life is not dictated by your circumstances, but rather it is dictated by your outlook. It is dictated by your perspective. Now, another story is told about a young pastor and his wife, no? Now, one day, the wife had a dream, and when she woke up, she immediately went to her husband, the young pastor, and told her, "Han, you know what, Han? I dreamt last night that on my birthday, you bought me a new iPhone, the latest model, Han. Han, pastor man ka, what did that dream mean, man, Han?" So the husband looked at the wife, and not wanting to disappoint her, he told his wife, "Han, relax. For sure, on your birthday, you will know what's the meaning of your dream." Now, a week before the wife's birthday, she had the same dream again. Gipalitan siya iPhone, and this time it was wrapped in a red wrapper with a pink ribbon on top. So when she woke up, she rushed to her husband. Nag-quiet time pa yung banay. "Han, Han, I had another dream. No, I dreamt that you bought me the latest iPhone, Han, and you wrap it in a red wrapper with the pink ribbon on top." "Han, sige na. Akong Nokia, Han, oh, karaan na kayo akong snake, di na mukhaon. Han, tell me, what did that, what does that dream mean, no?" And this time, the husband, with a more boastful tone on his voice, said, "Han, don't worry, guarantee on your birthday, you will surely know the meaning of your dream." So the wife got more excited. So throughout the week, she began to tell her cell group members, "You know what, pastor is gonna buy me iPhone, the latest model. I think he's getting ready to get that phone for me, na." So finally, the birthday came, no? When the wife woke up, there the husband was holding the gift, na. Red wrapper with pink ribbon on it, just like in her dreams. So excited king wife, "Han, is that it? Is that it?" So the husband said, "Finally, you will know the meaning of your dream." Then the husband gave him that box, that kanina nakadako nga box ba. Then the wife was so open, excited to open it. When she opened it, to her surprise, the husband gave her a book entitled "How to Interpret Your Dream." Now, friends, you can imagine how disappointed the wife was, no? I mean, she already told her cell group members. Now, there's actually a moral in this story. And that is sometimes we get disappointed in life because things don't happen as you expect them to be. Now, maybe you work so hard in your ministry over the years and only for your ministry to fail. Or maybe you go to visit a doctor and your doctor tells you you have a terminal illness. Or maybe you've made some wrong choices in the past and right now you're struggling financially. Or maybe you made some wrong decisions in your career, in your business, and your business and career is struggling. Or maybe your children didn't turn out the way you expect them to be. They didn't grow up the way you expect them to be. Or maybe a loved one passed away. I mean, guys, you get the point, right? There are countless things in life that will not go your way. And indeed, they can be devastating. And they can be frustrating. They're disappointing. And it's okay. It's okay to mourn for them. It's okay to be disappointed. But you must never allow your circumstances to dictate the way you live your life. And church, for you to be able to do that, is that you need to have a correct perspective in your Christian life. Now, I've entitled today's sermon, "Focus on His Glory." And today I have 5 simple points which I hope and pray will help you have a better and clearer perspective in your Christian life. Because why? A right perspective can equate to right living. Okay? Now, let's go to the Word here in verse 17 and 19. John 11, 17, 19, it says here, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Now, let's just do a little recap. Now, in our passage today, Lazarus is already dead, right? That's what the scripture is saying. Now, we must remember that the sister sent for Jesus while Lazarus was still sick. Sick, but still alive, di ba? That's the passage of Pastor Roberto last weekend. No, that when Lazarus was sick, the sister sent a word to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. But instead of going to Bethany, we read that nagpadugay-dugay si Jesus. The Lord Jesus intentionally delayed his arrival to Bethany. That's why Lazarus died, okay? So this is now the background of our passage. Sorry. Now, church, at most, the Lord Jesus was only about a day away. He could have arrived in Bethany so much earlier. But then again, Jesus intentionally delayed his arrival to Bethany. Gituyo ni Lord nga magdugay-dugay ug adto sa Bethany. Now, you must understand what this delay meant for Mary and Martha. It was literally a life and death situation for them. Because of the Lord's intentional delay, the sisters lost their brother. So church, this intentional delay of the Lord meant tremendous pain, suffering, and loss for the sisters Martha and Mary. The intentional delay of the Lord Jesus Christ caused so much pain and grief for these sisters. And come to think of it, Martha and Mary were one of Jesus' closest friends. They were one of Jesus' closest disciples. But in spite of that, Jesus has decided, when he heard the news, he decided, I'm going to delay my arrival to that place. Again, that delay caused so much pain, caused so much grief to the sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, church, why did Jesus do that? BFFs man ta ni sila. But why did he choose to delay his going to Bethany to heal Lazarus? And eventually, Lazarus died. He could have just went to Bethany and healed Lazarus, right? And went back to his work again. But yet, he chose not to do it. Why? Why did Jesus do this? Now, to answer this question, we need to go back a few verses before our passage today. John 11, verse 4. Pastor Roberto preached on this. Now, when Jesus heard the news that Lazarus was sick, John 11, verse 4, the Lord Jesus said, pagkibaw niya nga na sakit si Lazarus, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So church, the whole situation about Lazarus, as ugly as it seemed, as painful as it was for sisters Martha and Mary, God actually allowed and orchestrated this event to happen that his name may be glorified. Again, as painful as it was for Martha and Mary, God allowed and orchestrated this thing to happen that his name may be glorified. So this brings us to point number one. Point number one, your life is meant to glorify the Lord. Your life is meant to glorify the Lord. Now, you must know and understand this, church, and you must embrace it with all your heart, that the reason for your existence is to bring glory to God. And it is only when you understand and embrace this truth with all your heart can you be able to have a correct perspective in life. And you should see life through this lens, through this perspective, that you are made to glorify God, that you exist to glorify God. You are alive because you are meant to glorify God. Now, why did Jesus delay his arrival? Now, during this time, the Lord was about to perform one of his greatest miracles. And it isn't just an ordinary miracle, because this miracle demonstrates that he has power over life and death. Now, this miracle is done in order to show the unbelieving Jews during that time that he truly is the Son of God, the Messiah that they have been waiting for. Now, again, this miracle is done in order for those unbelieving Jews to see nga siya gyud ang Ginoo, Siya gud ang chosen one. Siya gud si na, siya gud ang Messiah ba. Now for Jesus to prove that he has authority over life and death, that life and death, he wanted people to know that Lazarus was not just dead, but very, very, very dead. Okay? Now, he doesn't want this miracle to be seen by the Jews as a mere resuscitation. Now, unsa man ang resuscitation? Like someone, if somebody gets into an accident and then maundang ang heartbeat and tabangon, and then the person is revived, that's resuscitation, right? The person died for a few seconds or a few minutes and comes back to life. That's what you call resuscitation. Now, Jesus doesn't want his miracle to be misinterpreted by the Jews as a mere resuscitation. He wants them to see that he really has power over life and death. So 4 days in the tomb will shut close the argument of resuscitation. Now, that's one of the reasons why the Lord delayed his arrival. Because he really wanted people to see that Lazarus is not just hiding inside the tomb, but he's really dead. Very, very dead. And in verse 19, the Bible also tells us that there are many Jews who came to console Mary and Martha. Now, some scholars believe that Martha and Mary were prominent figures in their region. Hence, there were many people who mourned with them. Now, these people who mourned with them became a captive audience to witness one of Jesus' greatest miracles, to raise someone back to life. And again, this miracle is done in their behalf so that they may see that he truly is the Son of God, that he is truly the Messiah that they have been waiting for. So these people, these unbelieving Jews who came to console Mary and Martha, they became captive audience. Now church, had Jesus came earlier, if he had chose to go there and heal Lazarus, then there couldn't have been any captive audience. You get what I'm saying? Jesus heals Lazarus. Lazarus goes his ways. He goes his ways. No captive audience. So this is one of the reasons why Jesus delayed his arrival. Because he wants to show these people that he is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God, and that he holds authority over death and life. Now, church, there are times in life that God displays his glory in the success and triumphs of his people. We praise God for those times. However, there are also times that God uses painful and ugly situations in our life to glorify his name and advance his kingdom. Now, as painful as it was for Mary and Martha, God orchestrated those events that his name may be glorified. Again, there are times in life that God wants to glorify his name when we go through seasons of trials. Now, can we show the picture right now? I don't know if you know them. This is JJ and Felice Lucas. They are the parents of Courageous Katie. How many of you know Courageous Katie? You can search her up in Facebook later, okay? Now, while JJ was still mourning the death of his mother in December 2015, just 2 weeks after his mother's death, JJ and his wife, Felice, they were still grieving, huh? They needed to bring their firstborn daughter, Katie, to the hospital because of an unexplainable pain in her whole body. Now, little did they know that they would be in and out of the hospital in the next few months. Now, after 2 months of being admitted in the hospital here and abroad, Katie, their firstborn daughter, was diagnosed with JMML. Can we show the picture? JMML is a rare and aggressive type of cancer. And on Easter 2016, Resurrection Sunday 2016, about a month or so after Katie's diagnosis, Katie went home to be with the Lord. Now you can just imagine how painful it was for the Lucas couple, right? I mean, look at that sweet child. Their firstborn daughter, taken away from them. Now, during Katie's funeral, the couple made sure that people will hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was so, during her funeral, many people heard the good news. And they were thankful about it. But as days went by, the loss of Katie eventually became unbearable for the Lucas couple. While they are thankful that Katie's story has inspired thousands worldwide, but at the end of the day, they have to face and accept the fact that Katie, their firstborn daughter, can no longer be with them. Now, this led the Lucas couple into severe depression. And somehow, they ended up blaming each other. Now, JJ, the husband, felt that he was a failure as a father. So there were times that he would have fits of rage. Deep anger would just burst within him. And the sad thing is, ang object siyang anger is his only son. When he's angry, when he's mad, ang mapahungawan, iyahang anak, luoy kayo, no? And he thought that maybe he and his wife, they're not biologically compatible. So he thought maybe it's just best that they go their separate ways and start all over again. Now, on the other hand, Felice, the wife, she also fell into deep depression to the point that it affected her physical health. Because of her severe depression, she became anemic, and she suffered Bell's palsy as a result of her severe depression. Now, in her state of being depressed, she argued and reasoned that she doesn't deserve the death of her daughter. And she even came a point where she was questioning her faith. By the way, both of them were devoted Christians, active kay na sila sa cell group. So during the time, she was asking the Lord, "Lord, people have been praying, the church have been praying, we've been praying, Lord. And how come? Ano gikuha man gyapon nimo si Katie?" So both husband and wife were deep into depression. No? Now as days went by, through the providence of God, Felice realized that in the midst of all the sadness, in the midst of all her sadness, she realized that she was too focused on herself and she forgot about her Christian calling. Honestly, because of the sadness, sige lang siya think about herself ba, and she forgot that she has a calling as a believer. Now, when she realized this, she started to reach out to others who were also hurting and be a source of comfort to them. No? So she started going out to people who've suffered loss. She started going out, reaching out to people who may go through the same case as Ilahaba. And guys, when she did this, according to her, immediately, her depression turned around and she was delivered from her depression. Now, at first, it was just kanang ministering to one-on-one lang ba? Kanang ministering to friends, ministering to kanang one-on-one na ministry lang, God. And then it came to reaching out to families who went through trauma, families who went through loss. So she just offers herself to be a comfort to them, to be a friend, a listening ear, pray with them, you know, to be a source of comfort to these people. And people were pointed to the glory of Jesus. People were pointed to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when JJ saw the change of countenance in his wife, he soon followed her. And him, together with his wife, together they go all around Metro Manila to give comfort to the needy. It started out as just a one-on-one ministry, and eventually it became a big comfort ministry. Can we show their ministry? Mona, those are the people that they ministered to. Those are the people where they point to the glory of Jesus. Now, JJ said in his testimony, he says, "Yes, it's still painful to lose his daughter, but there is joy and comfort in serving and glorifying Jesus in all that had happened." He says, "Yes, it's painful that he lost his daughter, but there is joy and comfort in serving and glorifying Jesus in all that happened." So you see, friends, there will be times when you go through loss and pain. But know this with all your heart. Know this with all your heart. It's never meant to destroy you. It's never meant to destroy you. On the contrary, if you're a true child of God, God is orchestrating something that will glorify Himself. And church, when God gets the glory, you will get the joy. When God gets the glory, you will get the comfort. Amen? Say amen if you believe that. Amen. When God gets the glory, you will get the joy. So church, point number one, your life is meant to glorify the Lord. And you should see things from this perspective. You should see things from this lens, that you are meant to glorify the Lord in whatever season of your life. Okay? Now moving on, verse 20 and 24. It says here, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Now, church, when Martha met with the Lord, you must understand that at this point, Martha was still clueless about what the Lord Jesus was about to do. She still didn't have any idea that the Lord Jesus was about to raise her dead brother back to life. So during this time, Martha was still grieving the loss of her brother. Now, sakit pa kainin ni Martha during this time, no? Nagsakit pa ni siya sa nahitabo. Now, when she met the Lord Jesus, she could have questioned the Lord, right? Lord, ngano nagtugay-dugay man ka, Lord? Lord, you're supposed to be a Jew, ngano gi-Filipino time man ni mo, Lord? Lord, close man tata, Lord, why did you delay your arrival? I mean, when Martha met the Lord, she could have asked Jesus this question, right? And her question could have been valid. But yet, Martha never questioned the Lord. But instead, she continued to show her faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at what Martha said to the Lord Jesus when Martha met him. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, church, I don't want you to misinterpret this statement of Martha. Martha was not blaming the Lord Jesus Christ. She was not, wa na gibasol ang Ginoo during the time. This was actually a statement of confidence on the Lord Jesus Christ. She's just like saying, Lord, if you've been here, none of this would have happened because I know with certainty that you could have healed my brother. I know, Lord, in your power, you could have done something and nothing like this could have had happened. It was actually a statement of confidence, a statement of faith on Martha's side to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is followed by verse 22 when she said, but even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So church, in spite of her painful situation, Martha continues to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. She continues to put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this brings us to point number two. Point number two, see through the lens of Scripture. See through the lens of Scripture. Now, church, for you to soldier on in your Christian life during difficult times, for you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Martha did, then you have to see things through the lens of Scripture. You have to remain in His Word. Now, John MacArthur said that Martha was a well-discipled woman. Why? Because in her conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ, she was actually quoting Scripture. So Martha was a person who's rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Now, in verse 24, when Martha said to Jesus, I know that He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day, Martha was actually quoting Daniel chapter 12. So Martha knows her Old Testament and she sees things through the Scripture. She sees things through the lens of God's Word. So again, church, for you to be able to trust the Lord Jesus Christ when the going gets tough, for you to soldier on in your Christian faith during difficult times, you have to see things through the lens of Scripture. You have to be rooted in the Word of God. Now, Felice Lucas, the mother of Courageous Katie, in one of her interviews, when she was asked how she was able to cope up and move on from her depression after losing Katie, this is what she said. If there is something she is grateful for, it is this. Before the storms happened, she soaked herself in the Word of God. She hungered for the Word of God and feasted on the Word of God. And she read as many Christian literature as much as possible. And according to her, that's what helped her soldier on when she went through the storm. Because it helped her to see things through the lens of Scripture. That's what helped her to see things from God's perspective. Church, the Word of God is very powerful. The Word of God is very powerful. And you should see life through its lens. Now, praise God, we're about to celebrate our 16th anniversary. No, we're about to celebrate our 16th anniversary. And guys, we're so grateful and thankful to the Lord that on the average, we're catering to about 600 souls every weekend. Can we give the Lord a clap of praise for that? No? Praise God. Praise God. No? Now, we're turning 16 this December. But you know, it has never been a smooth sailing 16 years for Living Word IT Park. There were a lot of hardships along the way. There were a lot of problems and heartaches and tears along the way. No, as I was looking through the previous picture, but when we started Living Word, gamay pa man akong agtang. But as the years went by, nakasaka man. You know? But there are many problems, church. A lot of heartaches that happen along the way. And what sustains us as leaders of the church, what sustains us in the pastoral team, is that we always see things through the lens of Scripture. If we need to make any decision, the Scripture is always our guide. If there are many issues or there are any, you know, conflicts, we always go back to Scripture. And I believe with all my heart that what we're enjoying right now is a result of Scripture. Okay? Now, this is not part of my manuscript, but again, I'm a Christian Marites, so I'm going to share this to you. Now, some years ago, I was betrayed by someone who's really dear to me. And the betrayal was really blatant, church. And because of that, I wanted to quit ministry. I wanted to stop, you know, I've been serving the Lord. So, you know, I've considered quitting the ministry and I've considered dropping everything. And it was not until a wise counsel of a dear sister in the Lord, she told me, Joe, don't see this thing as it is. See it through the lens of Scripture. See it through the lens of Scripture. This has happened to you because you guys there in Living Word IT Park, you're doing something for the kingdom of God. And the enemy doesn't like it at all. This thing that's happening to you right now, you know, this is a spiritual attack. And you should see it as such. You should see it through the lens of Scripture. Now, it was only through that counsel of that dear sister that gave me wisdom that I was able to forget the person who betrayed me, and I was able to soldier on in the Christian faith and continue serving the Lord. So guys, you should see life through the lens of Scripture. It was only when I began to see things through the lens of Scripture that I was able to move on in my Christian life. So church, point number two, in order for you to maintain a trust relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, in order for you to soldier on, keep on keeping on serving the Lord, point number two, you have to see things through the lens of Scripture. Now moving on, verse 25 and 27. Now, story na si Martha and si Jesus. And here in verse 25, the Lord Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, church, from this passage, we can read one of the Lord Jesus' most profound statements. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, with this statement, he moved Martha from a vague and abstract belief of the resurrection to a personal trust in him. Now, only Jesus can raise the dead. There is no resurrection, there is no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, church, the Jews, even the Pharisees, they actually believed the resurrection from the dead. For the reason that it was taught in the Old Testament. But somehow their teaching are rather quite abstract and vague. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's the fulfillment of this teaching. Again, there is no eternal life. There is no resurrection from the dead outside of Jesus Christ. So when the Lord Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," he took Martha from just believing in a doctrine and a teaching to believing in a person. Get what I'm saying? All throughout her life, Martha believes in the resurrection from the dead. But that is just teaching. That is just doctrinal. But when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus took Martha off from just believing a doctrine, from just believing a teaching, into believing a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Okay? So he took Martha out from just believing in a doctrine to believing in a person. Now here in verse 25 and 26, the Lord Jesus promised that whoever believes in him shall not die. Now by dying, the Lord Jesus of course meant spiritual death or eternal separation from God in hell forever. So church, like Martha, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Okay? You have eternal life. Now, how many of you here believe Jesus? If you believe Jesus, raise your hand. Now, say this with me. I have eternal life. Say it like you mean it, guys. I have eternal life. Amen. Now, let that sink in. You have eternal life. Just 3 weeks ago, TJ preached a very beautiful sermon that we are held by the hands of the Almighty God. Church, we are good for the rest of eternity. And it's not because we're holding on to our Savior. It's because our Savior is the one holding us. We are good for the rest of eternity. You and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are secure forever. So church, this leads us to our third point. Point number three. Have an eternal mindset. Have an eternal mindset. Now, I once heard a plug from DYFR that says, "You are an eternal being with temporal experience." Let me say that again. You are an eternal being with temporal experience. Now, church, the clothes you're wearing right now, the chairs where you're seated on right now, your feelings that you have right now, the relationships that you're enjoying right now, well, guess what, church? These are your temporal experience. But you are an eternal being. Now, what you see, what you feel, how you reason right now, that's just your temporal experience. And friends, whether you like it or not, you will exist for eternity because you are an eternal being. The moment your heart stops beating, that's when your temporary existence stops and your permanent existence begins. And whether you like it or not, you will live on for the rest of eternity. So have an eternal mindset. Now, church, I borrowed this illustration from a pastor in YouTube, no? And I want you now to use your imagination. Imagine that this is a magic rope, okay? Now imagine that this rope here goes through the wall and goes all the way to Manila, all the way to Talamban, all the way to Liloan. Imagine this rope goes all the way. Imagine that this rope never ends, okay? I want you to use your imagination. And the other side of the rope, imagine lang yapon, also imagine that this rope never ends. It goes on and on and on. It goes beyond. Basta, digin mo man, okay? Just imagine this is a magic rope that has no beginning and has no end. Now, this rope signifies the timeline of eternity. Okay? Now, at some point, God decided, let there be light, and there was light. There was, God created the creatures. God created man, and so the Old Testament happened here, so on and so forth. So imagine this is going to represent the timeline, huh? So in this point, this is World War II. Then at this point, 1960, 1970, all of a sudden, naabot dere. This tiny brown thing here signifies the timeline of your existence. At some time, at some point in eternity, you were born. This is where you were born, baby pa ka dere. Then all of a sudden, you started to crawl, and here, nursery, then elementary, then high school, then college, and here, you fell in love, you got married, you have kids, then your children have children, you became a grandparent, then you got sick, then here, you died. See how small your timeline is. See how small your life is in the context of eternity. Right? Now, say, for example, the Lord will say, my child, in this point of your existence, I want you to sacrifice something for me. And it's gonna be painful. It's gonna be hard. You have to deny yourself. But maybe you'll ask the Lord, Lord, of all people, why me? Why are you gonna give me that assignment? Then the Lord will tell you, because child, I'm gonna let you go through difficulty here because I'm trying to accomplish something for that's here. That many more people will come to know me as the one true God. Child, are you willing to sacrifice this portion of your life? Because we're building something here that will last for eternity, that will go on forever and ever. Now, church, what is this tiny thing? Now, what is this tiny sacrifice that the Lord may ask you to do in light of eternity? Where you will be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever without end. And someday you'll hear the sweetest words in all eternity, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now you would want that, right? You would want that. I don't know about you, but I would live for that. To hear the sweetest words in all eternity, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, church, for you to soldier on in your Christian faith, point number three, have an eternal mindset. Okay? Now, moving on, let's read through verse 28 and 37. Now, due to time constraint, I'll just be picking out the important teaching points as we move along. Actually, this is two sermons compressed into one. So, I'll just read through the next passage and bring out the teaching points. So verse 28, it says here, when she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Verse 36, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also kept this man from dying? Okay, now point number four. Point number four, remember the Savior's tears. Okay, remember the Savior's tears. Now from this passage, we can read the shortest verse in the Bible. And that's found in verse 35. Jesus wept. Now church, is the shortest verse in the Bible, but yet, it is packed with unfathomable complexity. Jesus wept. So the passage tells us that Martha informed her sister Mary, "Oy, finally, the Lord is here." So when Mary heard that, she quickly ran to the Lord. And katong mga mourners who mourned with her saw her that she was running. They also went with her. And finally, when Mary met the Lord, Mary was crying and she was telling the Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And the Jews who were with her, they were also crying. So guys, imagine this scenario. It was a very intense one, right? Mary was crying, and the people who went with her, they were also crying. So grabe ang drama during that time. Grabe ang heaviness during that time. So when the Lord saw Mary crying, and when he also saw those mourners, they were also crying. Here in verse 35, we read that Jesus also wept. Nihilak ang Ginoo. Now guys, why do you think Jesus wept? He already knows what he's supposed to do. I mean, he already knows what he was about to do, right? Kibaw naman siya that he would raise Lazarus back from the dead. But yet, why did he still weep? Why did he still cry? No nga no nihilak pamangyud ang Ginoo. Now, theologians and scholars suggest two likely reasons why Jesus wept. And I believe both are true and correct, no? The first reason is this. Jesus wept for the mourners who mourned without hope. Jesus wept for the mourners who mourned without hope. Remember, there were many Jews who came with Mary, right? And they were crying. They were going, wala, wala na si Lazarus. And they were thinking, wala na yun si Lazarus forever. Now remember, a lot of Jews mourned with Mary and Martha. And sadly, not all of them became believers. Not all of them became saved, if you may. And the Lord Jesus knows the hopeless eternity that awaits those who are unrepentant. Now church, hell is a prison of everlasting chains from which there is no hope of release. Its furnace of conscious torment goes on and on and on and on and on and on. The fires in hell never goes out. It's a place of excruciating misery and pain where weeping and gnashing of teeth goes on 24/7. In hell, people cannot say, time outside, it's already so painful. No, the torture, the pain goes on and on without break, without rest. You know, regret is forever in hell. Faith, hope, and love is forever absent in hell. And church, this is what awaits to those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus wept for these people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He died for his people, for these people. But yet, these people still reject him. The Lord can only wept for them, church, because he knows the godless eternity that awaits them. Now, the second reason, Jesus wept for Martha and Mary. He felt for Martha and Mary. Again, they're BFFs. They're one of his closest disciples. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness." Church, we have a Savior who is able to sympathize with us. We have a Savior who feels for us. He knows and understands the hurts and the pains that his people go through. Now you should always remember that you do not serve an indifferent God who sits on his throne and cares nothing for the feelings of his servant. On the contrary, you serve a very affectionate and loving God. You serve a very affectionate and loving God. Now guys, I want this to be put into perspective. Think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of glory. He is the creator of heaven and earth. The Word of God tells us that he is the commander of the Lord's army. He is the great I Am that is worshipped by legions and legions of mighty angels in heaven. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the everlasting God. But yet at one point in eternity, because two sisters were grieving, this great and mighty God cried with them. Think about that, church. We serve a very loving God. We serve a very affectionate God. Now, let me show you a picture that I secretly took last year. I think I'll be in trouble after the service because she's here. Now, that's my wife, Michelle. Okay? Now, I took that last year when we were already weeks in the hospital. Now, if you can see, there's a tube attached to her side. The tube goes straight to her lungs. And it's attached to a machine that's so noisy. And that tube has been attached to her for weeks already. Now, during that time, our doctors could not tell us what's going on with her. And we've reached a point where every day there's no progress. No, day in, day out, no improvement. Day in, day out, the doctors couldn't give us anything. There even came a point where two of her doctors were arguing in front of us. The other doctor actually raised his voice over the other doctor. Now, guys, when your doctors argue in front of you, let me tell you, it's not a pleasant experience at all. No? Now, during that time, I believe so many of you have prayed for us during that time. Thank you very much. But we ourselves, we were also praying. But I came to a point, balik-balik naman ang prayer every day. I just didn't know what to pray for anymore. Because every day is the same prayer requests. Every day is the same words that comes out of my mouth. But yet, nothing happened. Every day, the same. No update, no news, no improvement. And this went on for weeks. Until such a time, I just didn't know what to pray for anymore. No? Okay. Again, as I've said, balik-balik naman ang prayer. Now, church, what brought so much comfort to me during that time was Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans 8, 34 says that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Now, church, Jesus is not sitting pretty on his throne right now. As we speak, he is interceding for you and me. Don't we serve a loving God? Don't we serve a very affectionate Savior? So during that time, when I just didn't know how to pray anymore, this verse brought so much comfort to me because it taught me, Lord, even though ano kibaon sa akong pagpray, but I am confident because I know right now, Lord, you are praying for us. So during those times, instead of pray pa mini Michelle asking for healing, we just forego of that and we just raise our hands and just worship the Lord for who he is. Just thank him for who he is. And let me tell you guys, when we worship the Lord, his presence is just so sweet and it brings so much comfort to us. Now during that time, she was actually worshiping. No, that's why she's raising her hand. And I took a picture. Sorry, Shel. No, so it comforts us. We serve a very affectionate God. We serve a very loving Savior. So church, as you go through difficult times, as you go through seasons of challenges, point number 4, remember your Savior's tears. You do not serve an indifferent God who cares nothing for your feelings, but God loves you so much. Your Savior loves you so much. Okay? So point number 4, remember the Savior's tears. Okay? Now moving on, let's read verse 38 to 45. Ato nang pagawson si Lazarus, no? Kaya ganina ra siya go, what? So 38 to 45 says here, then Jesus deeply moved again. He came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Then the man who died came out, his hand and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Then Jesus said to them, unbind him, let him go. Now many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he had done, believed in him. So church, this final passage is finally the moment of truth. The stage is now set. The Lord is now about to perform one of the greatest miracles in history. So people already there about to witness his great miracle. So the Lord was taken to the tomb of Lazarus. When the Lord reached there, he gave out a command to remove the stone, right? Now at first, Martha was apprehensive. Lord, if we remove this now, it's going to be so stinky. It's going to have odor. I mean, the Jews, they don't embalm, right? So the process of decaying is faster. So by this time, Lazarus' body was well advanced in decaying stage, no? So Martha said, Lord, ayaw lang, Lord, kay maybe there's a stench na ba? Then the Lord Jesus needed to remind her, did I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So when Martha heard this, they agreed to take away the stone. And after the stone was removed, the Lord Jesus prayed a thanksgiving of prayer to his Father. And after praying, with a loud voice, he commanded, Lazarus, come out. Then the dead man came out a man alive. Now, church, that day, the law of science was broken. The impossible became possible. The power of death was broken. And God was glorified. God was glorified. His purpose was accomplished. Now, church, you can just imagine the joy the sisters felt when they saw their dead brother being raised back to life, right? Imagine kasi a feast that could have happened after that. Imagine losing someone and all of a sudden seeing their brother well and alive. I'm sure there was a celebration during that time. Tears of sadness became tears of joy. No? God was glorified and his purpose was accomplished. Now, church, I want you to understand, this is not even about raising Lazarus back to life. This passage is actually about Jesus accomplishing his purpose and giving glory to God. And what's true in this passage is true for each and every one of us. Church, our life is not about us. Our life is not about our Lazaruses or whatever. Our life is about the purpose of God and the glory of God in our lives. Now listen to this, guys. We praise God that this story has a happy ending. We thank God. But sometimes the problem doesn't go away. Sometimes the problem remains. But it's okay. Have an eternal mindset. Because the answer to your prayer might not be in this lifetime, but in the lifetime that is to come. And it's okay. Why? For as long as God accomplishes his purpose and he is glorified, that should be enough for you and me. But always remember this. When God gets the glory, you get the joy and the comfort. Amen? Now, church, for our final point, I'd like us to underscore what the Lord Jesus said in verse 40. Okay? He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Believe, and you would see the glory of God. So point number 5, believe and see. Believe and see. Now church, before the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he gave out a command. And that command was to remove the stone, right? Now, at first, Martha was hesitant. Then the Lord Jesus needed to remind her, didn't I say that you should believe that you may see the glory of God? And when Martha believed, what did she do? She obeyed the Lord. That's why they removed the stone. And church, when they obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, they have seen the glory of God. Believe and see. Now, church, genuine believing means obeying Jesus Christ. Genuine believing means obeying. So if you're seated there right now and you profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, see to it that you have the actions to back it up. Because genuine believing means obeying. Now, church, you have to understand that God can glorify himself with or without you. But for your sake, if you want to experience the glory of God in your life, then start obeying him. Now, a heartbreaking reality in the world today is that there are too many Christians who miss out on the glory of God It's because either they're disobedient to the Word of God or they're simply indifferent to the command of Scriptures. Church, you are missing out a lot by not obeying. And again, genuine believing means obeying. Now, church, don't miss out on the glory of God. Experience it yourself. Start heeding, start obeying the commands of Scripture. Now, as I end, allow me to share this story with you guys, okay? Now, this is, can we show the picture? This is Ryan and Fritzy Maranga, okay? The husband's name is Ryan and the wife's name is Fritzy. While they were still sweethearts, Ryan and Fritzy attended Living Word Maine. So, Christians ni silang duha. But unfortunately, Ryan had backslidden. So, during the early years of their marriage, Fritzy really had struggled a lot with Ryan because Ryan became a drug addict. And not only was he a drug addict, he was irresponsible and he never provided for their family. Now, Fritzy had hoped that Ryan would eventually become a better husband one day. But instead, Ryan kept getting worse. As years went by, Ryan didn't only got hooked on drugs, but he also became a womanizer. Now, it's very difficult for Fritzy during that time, no? Wala na gani income yung bana, and if she herself, she would earn a little income, kawaton pagyud ni Ryan, no? Kawaton pagyud ni Ryan. So, Ryan was really a headache. And I've seen Ryan during those times because amigo man mi ani ni Ryan. And he also works for Kia during that time. So I've seen him. Mura nagid siya kanang, for the lack of better words, kamo taong grasa ba? No? Kana mura na bintaw ka na makita ni mo maglakaw-lakaw sa sidewalk. Now guys, to most women, this is enough reason to dump the husband, right? This is enough reason to, you know, just leave him and start all over. But guess what? According to Fritzy, this has never crossed her mind. She says she has a very high regard for marriage because she knows that marriage is instituted by God. So despite all the hurts and pains that Ryan caused her, she chose to continuously love Ryan. Why? Because according to her, that is the command of Scripture. And she chooses to obey the Word of God. Bahala na unsa ka sakit. She said, sakit kayo. The things that she done to me, sakit kayo. But the Word of God tells me to love my husband. Notice, in spite of that, in spite of all the pain, she chooses to submit and obey the Word of God. For 7 long years, this was the ordeal of Fritzy. And every single day, she prays that, Lord, please, baguha na niya akong bana. Lord, please, Lord, call my husband back to you. Every day, she intercedes for her husband. So despite of all the pain that her husband caused her, she chooses to obey the Word of God by continuously loving her husband. Now one day, by the grace of God, like the prodigal son, Ryan finally came to his senses and started his journey to repentance. Now, church, this was many years ago. It was many years ago. Today, Ryan is a successful businessman. And I should know that because he's my competitor. Samo kayo, no? But we love each other. We respect each other as co-laborers in the Lord's vineyard. And not only is Ryan a successful businessman today, but he's also now one of our leaders in our Living Word Church in Pasil. So guys, believe and see the glory of God. Fritzy chose to believe the Word of God and continues to love her husband and continues to pray for her husband and intercedes for her husband. And now she's seen the glory of God through the life of her husband. Now just recently, her husband brought her a gift. No? Can we show it? There. It's a brand new, latest model, fully loaded, top of the line GR Hilux. Let me show the next picture. That's Fritzy receiving her gift from her husband. So, kamo mga naibadlungon nga bana, ampuin ninyo kaya basi maka Hilux pan mo. Anyway, Fritzy chose to believe and obey the Scripture. And because she believed, she saw the glory of God through the life of her husband. Church, don't miss out on the glory of God. Start heeding the word of God. Start obeying what the scripture has commanded you to do. Okay? So there you go. 5 simple points which I hope and pray gave you a better perspective in your Christian walk. 1, you are meant to glorify God. 2, you should see things through the lens of scripture. 3, have an eternal mindset. 4, remember the Savior's tears. And 5, believe and see. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the word that has been discussed this morning, O God. We humbly ask and pray, Lord, that may you allow your word continuously minister to us, Lord, in the days to come, in the months to come, even in the years to come, Lord. And Father, whatever you have done and accomplished today, Lord, we just want to give you all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor. This is our prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.